Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
All right, one more that we didn't get to from the comments page about what to do first when you lose your job. Anne from Manhattan wrote, "When I got laid off during the dot-com bust, I sold all my stuff and moved to Maui." And she says, "This is what not to do. It was lovely for the first 6 months. Then I got terribly lonely and broke. I had to go back to California and move in with a very generous friend until I could find some work again. It took 18 months to get an interview." So Anne from Manhattan says, do not sell all your stuff and move to Maui, okay? But we'll all stay together and help each other get through this for however long it takes. For those of you losing your jobs right now. Now, yesterday, Andrea Bernstein pinch hitting for me when I was out, heard an earful from guests, callers, and even a celebrity when Rosie Perez called in about the Ravage Commission's plan to start charging tolls on the East River bridges. As might be expected, drivers in Queens and Brooklyn aren't happy with the idea, but there are other components to the plan that's designed to balance the MTA's budget without the draconian 23% fare increase that's currently on the table without the other revenue generators, maybe an 8% fare increase instead, and a payroll tax as an alternative. I'm joined now by Pete Donahue, transit reporter at the New York Daily News, to talk about what's involved in that payroll tax aspect of the proposal. Hi, Pete. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks a lot.
And as I understand it, this tax would be 33 cents on every $100 of payroll. So I guess we multiply that out to whatever a company's payroll is. But who pays it, the employer or the employee, or is it shared?
Yeah, that's an important point. It's the employer. It's not the workers that would pay this tax.
So would not come out of your paycheck as a deduction, although I would imagine that if workers, if companies had to start paying a new 33 cents on every $100 tax for the MTA, then we may see pay scales adjusted going forward.
Well, that's going to be one of the arguments against it. You're already seeing that come out in one of the papers today, that argument that somehow this is going to, result in widespread loss of jobs and everybody standing on the corners shaking their cups looking for change. But that's the argument against it. But on the other side, Dick Ravage is a very respected person with vast experience in transit, says it's spread out among the broadest range and group of people that it can be. It's 12 counties employers would be paying this tax, and that's why you see such a big number that it generates $1.5 billion a year.
So 12 counties, anything that's considered served by the MTA. So that's 12 counties all in New York State, wouldn't apply to New Jersey or Connecticut, correct?
Actually, I think someone mentioned to me that it would impact residents outside that. I'm not sure how that would be. You're right. Yeah, I think there's a 12-county region.
Actually, I don't know. Maybe we can get confirmation on that. But the MTA, I think, does not serve New Jersey, but does actually, some of the Metro North lines go up into Connecticut, so maybe that's how it would get into that state. Would any employers be exempted?
No, that's pretty interesting. Nonprofits would have to pay, and state authorities would have to pay. The MTA would have to pay.
Huh.
State government would have to pay. I think they've made a point of having everybody, meaning everybody, is going to feel this pinch.
How about freelancers and the self-employed?
Self-employed, although I was speaking to someone yesterday who said he wouldn't be surprised if now, as it gets up to all, there'll be exemptions for self-employed on the lower economic range.
And how much money is it expected to raise? How much, if it's implemented as proposed, what would it actually mean for the MTA and what they'd be able to do?
Well, it would mean $1.5 billion in a full calendar year. So if they enacted it in January or right away, it means $1.5 billion. And that first year, that money would go to help plug the massive gap in the operating budget next year. So that means there would be a much more modest fare hike for strap hangers and probably no service cuts at all. After that, the second year and beyond, that money would go into what they call as a lockbox, where there'd be a legal requirement that it can only be spent on MTA capital construction projects. That's fixing up your stations, putting up new signals, buying new subways, buying new trains, new buses, rather. And that's important because right now a lot of the burden on the operating budget, which is fares and tolls, is to pay off borrowing that had to be taken to pay for that kind of nuts and bolts construction kind of work.
So that's a pretty interesting structure. It would help ease them through the immediate deficits for operating expenses over the first couple of years, and then this payroll tax in all the counties that the MTA serves would go only for capital construction and improvement. But has that been an issue in the past? Are there any models that we could look at and say that money designated for capital projects really does or doesn't stay in that kind of a lockbox?
Well, I don't know if there's examples of that, but it is a huge issue because that is a major problem with the fares in the MTA, is that the state and city, to a lesser extent the city, failed largely under the Pataki years to give the MTA the money it needed to do these kind of hard construction projects. So faced with no other option, really, I guess, they borrowed heavily. And I think the MTA is unique in that strap hangers bear a huge burden of paying off such debt. I think it's fairly unique. And this essentially would increasingly and then totally shift the burden of paying for this kind of work away from the strap hangers, and the strap hangers would only have to keep pace with inflation for such things as salaries and wages, which is, it's a huge lift if they can pull that off.
Listeners, we were just taking calls from unemployed people for the first part of the hour. Do you like this idea, whether you're an employer, an employee, a newly unemployed aspiring employee? How about a payroll tax? How about this $0.33 on every $100 or $33 out of every $100,000 of payroll to fund long-term capital projects for the MTA? Are you for this, or do you have any questions about this aspect of the Ravitch Commission proposal to fund the MTA long-term? Not getting as much attention as the East River tolls, but a very important piece here, so we're breaking this out for a separate piece of conversation right now. 212-433-WNYC, or any questions you have about it for Pete Donahue, transit reporter for the Daily News. 212-433-9692, or post a comment or a question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And before we go to the phones, Pete, would this plan preserve the projects underway, the Second Avenue subway, the number 7 extension, the East Side Access capital project for the LIRR?
Yeah, absolutely. I think actually some of the money, I think the number is like 100. Okay, now I got it. Sorry about that.
Go ahead, that's right.
There's a lot of details in this.
I expect you to memorize the numbers all in the first day.
It would go, first of all, this money would pay for all new debt. The MTA is constantly borrowing. I mean, these capital plans are $25, $30 billion. It's huge. So it would pay for all new debt. So going forward, any borrowing the MTA had to do for a major construction project, strap hangers would have to pay for it. But I believe it also would pick up the cost of the underway projects, the Second Avenue subway, the East Side Access, the number 7. So yes, absolutely. This, you know, it's certain that the Second Avenue subway, at least the first leg, is going to happen. Looks like the number 7 train is going to happen in Long Island Access. But this is, it would be a very, very important and steady stream of money to actually see those things happen, and hopefully maybe even a little sooner.
Ellen in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Ellen, you're a freelancer?
Yes, indeed, I am.
And?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I actually read the Ravitch report, and I did not see anything in there that said that certain levels of income for self-employed would be exempt from this payroll tax. And secondly, New York City is one of the few municipalities in the country that has the unincorporated business tax. So it would actually be a second tax on freelancers that would be unique, or one of the few places in the country to do that. So it's another burden on freelancers.
Ellen, thank you. Any questioning of her analysis of, you know, not for it, against it, that's her opinion, but of how it would hit freelancers, Pete?
Well, no. I mean, it would hit the self-employed. That's the recommendation. What Albany does with it is very much up in the air. She's right. It's not in the report, but I was speaking to an advocate who's pretty much into this, and it was his belief that once it got up to Albany and Shelley Silver and others started hashing out the details, which is hoped, if not expected, then there would be some sort of exemption. They would set some sort of income level. I don't think they'd be completely insensitive to the fact that there were people out there making a living on their own. And so I think, you know, a lot of this still has to play out.
Right. Mark in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Brian. Thank you for letting me speak.
You bet.
I have, you know, this whole thing with the transfer ferry getting, putting tolls on bridges and raising an employer tax, which will basically probably hurt the employees more than anybody else, especially in this economic time. But my question is, who's going to be monitoring the transit authority? Like the school dormitory authority, for years, they're pretty much a renegade authority in all of it. They answer to nobody almost. We give them this money and they're not accountable. And I can give you a perfect example of waste. The Pelham Parkway station in the Bronx, it was supposed to be 2 years to complete and took over 5 years. And guess what? In 91, they told us we'd have an intercom on the station. We still don't have an intercom there even. So who is going to, they should set up a monitoring committee to see how they waste and spend, and the MTA should be held accountable. And the other thing is, there should be people on the MTA board who know transportation, not because your best friend is my buddy and I'm going to put him on the board. Right. We saw what happened with management when Bush put his crony in front of,
I think that's actually getting a little better with the current MTA board under Elliot Sander, rather than and the former administration under a real estate executive. But Pete Donahue from the Daily News, there is something about new MTA board member requirements to have relevant experience and to have some kind of new oversight in this Ravitch proposal, isn't there?
Yes, there is. But let me just jump in and talk a little bit about the perception of the MTA. I think that what that caller expressed is very much what people think, that this is a renegade authority. I've been covering them for 10 years, and there's no mistake that, you know, they've done their fair share of boneheaded things over the years. But the fact that no one's looking the assumption that no one is looking is couldn't really be farther from the truth. I mean, you've got the Independent Budget Office, you've got the state controller, you have the city controller writing reports frequently, several times a year, going over their finances. They have public meetings every month for every possible committee you can think of. And, you know, you see updates and documents the size of phone books where they talk about contracts that are in contracts going up, change orders. I don't know any government agency where you could go and sit there and have that kind of open book situation where they're saying, okay, this project now, well, it's going up 10%. Why is it going up?
So you think they get a little bit of a bad rap?
Well, I think, you know,
lack of transparency.
Yeah, I think they certainly it was much worse, and I think that under Katie Lapp in the last administration, things started to turn around. Unfortunately, you know, they're fighting many years of a reputation, and some of it is obviously well deserved. But a lot of people are looking and are looking very closely at the books and have been for a while, and I don't think the public perception has caught up to that.
Fred in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I note with interest that the commuter tax, which had been discussed quite a bit as a funding mechanism, seems to have dropped off the table. And I was wondering why and what happened to it.
Is this payroll tax plus the East River tolls, Pete Donahue, transit reporter for the Daily News, kind of, you know, all taken together a surrogate for the old commuter tax?
Yes, I think it is a surrogate for the old commuter tax. Dick Ravitch, the former MTA chairman who drafted this report, essentially was asked about that yesterday by reporters. And his explanation was that the commuter tax was a much smaller group of people. It's a much smaller region, and that the reason it did a payroll tax is it spreads it across a much greater group of people. And also, you know, employers, businesses benefit greatly from having a subway system, from having that works, having it, you know, Metro North and Long Island Railroad can get employers to and from. And there's a lot of commuting going the opposite way. So the argument for this payroll tax is it's a real, real value that employers have been getting for many, many, many years. and that they should contribute.
So before you go, just give us the politics of this. We heard the outcry on yesterday's show to East River bridge tolls. It seems like, you know, that's generating a lot of debate. Maybe this payroll tax, not so much. Maybe it will once it gets to Albany and employers get their hooks in the legislators. I don't know. But what do you see in terms of the chance of any of this passing now that the Ravitch plan has been out for a day or so?
Well, I think there's a greater chance of some real reform to the structural funding problems that the MTA has had for years than there has been in a long time. I think the payroll taxes, as Governor Patterson said yesterday, is very viable. You are going to hear much more screaming and yelling about the tolling of the bridges, and what officials have to counter that with if they want to be successful is something that hasn't gotten much notice yet. But the report says that expanded bus service has to be in place before these tolls, and they're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars a year to send new bus routes, more buses into areas like Red Hook that Rosie Perez was talking about, into areas where you don't have easy access to the subway. So they've got to really bring home to people that, you know, okay, you know, you're going to pay if you're going to drive, but we're now going to have an express bus coming from your neighborhood.
All right. And that's another separate that we should probably break out on the show next week and look at how central buses are to the revamping of the MTA under the Ravitch proposal. New York Daily News transit reporter Pete Donahue, good job. Thank you very much for coming on with us again.